Well, we thank God for His Word and how He tells us more about Himself in that Bible, and the troubled days may come upon you personally or others. Please open your Bible at home and say, Lord, tell me about Yourself and about life, and God's faithful to speak to us if we're hungry for Him, and meet Jesus in the Bible every day. It's a great gift. And today it was set aside to thank God for those who are involved in helping others learn about Christ, or we call disciple-making ministry. The disciple is a learner. So that's what you and I are up to every day. We learn when we gather together, and a lot of people help us with that. Those particular people involved in those ministries when we gather really deal with pretty much everybody in the sanctuary here today, from the children, nursery ministries, all the way to teenager ministries. That's the senior saint ministries of the church. Each one of those are touched in some manner by what used to be Christian education, or people all around you in disciple-making ministry. We're learning together. So that's the theme of today. We learn when we gather. We learn so much when we go also. If we only had learning time for the 2 or 3 hours we gather together each week, you'd say, well, we're going to be learning pretty slow. But we learn every day from the Lord. So come together to learn, meet Him in praise, go and serve as we learn also. Reminded me of a story of a good theologian and Bible teacher, R.C. Sproul, who is very well educated, Dr. Sproul, as he's known as. And he came home one time, and he had a son in seventh grade, and he asked his son, a normal question a parent would ask, son, what did you learn in school today? And his son responded, nothing. And R.C. Sproul, not to be taken back, said, nothing? Fantastic. He said, did you know Augustine taught that God created the whole universe out of nothing? He said, so son, take heart. God will do great things in your life from all the nothing that you are experiencing. And the son said, oh, Dad. You know, but that was his way of saying, son, you're a learner. Be a learner. Be a disciple. You and I, if we're on this side of heaven, we are learning. We are learning from somebody. We are learning from the Lord, or we are learning from the devil. Wow. Important to have the right teacher in our lives every day. If we're on this side of heaven, we're in school still. Ooh, I remember 12th grade being set free, college, seminary, and yet learning continues. If you're in tune a little bit to the Lord, you're in the school of hard knocks. That's the kind of school you're in. You and I are pilgrims on a long journey home. It's a difficult journey. And so we say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We're in the university of following Jesus, who all of us who have put our trust in Him have enrolled in that university. It's a lifelong university. No one graduates, by the way, until our life is over. So you're still learning. The university of following Jesus. Some good things about the university: no one flunks out. No one drops out. God said, He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ. The Lord is going to hang in there with you. Most of us have to repeat a number of grades numerous times. That's okay. We walk again with our teacher. Jesus is not put off by our temporary failures. He's a very patient, loving teacher. And He is very good at producing A students. Because He's the greatest teacher of all. He is never tired of us. In the experiences you've had this past week with God, to know that He's at the center of each experience, whether you saw Him there or not. He says, in Him, all things hold together. And if you're like me, we need to hear from God. Take heart. He's with us always. Don't let our hearts be troubled. So I ask you, what did you learn last week in school, or at work, or at home? Our seventh grade hearts would say, nothing. But Jesus is committed to teaching us Great teachers produce great learners. And at the cross, he says, I will give you an A as a gift. Now let me help you be an A student. I'd like to share three stories with you that might help you continue to be a learner when the church gathers. And we do thank all those people who serve in those ministries, in disciple-making ministries, Christian education, the more well-known abridged version, that those folks help us so much when we gather. We would have very little activity going on if it wasn't for those folks doing what they do week in and week out. But three stories that would help you know you're a learner wherever you go this week, when you gather, when you go home, and on the job in the neighborhood. I remember learning as a first week pastor right out of seminary. And I couldn't wait to serve in that capacity. I was a youth pastor first, and I thought, this is going to be great. Been praying for 3 years, studying the Bible for 3 years, and what the Lord would do, who would know? The first day of work, the senior pastor came to me. He said, it was June when I started. He said, first week of August, we have vacation Bible school. We don't have a Bible school director this year. He handed me the church directory and said, you're the director of vacation Bible school. He said, call everybody in the church, in the directory, and ask them if they want to be a part of vacation Bible school. I thought, you're just doing this to see if I have endurance, right? I thought, I began to pray throughout that week as I made those phone calls. Oh, Lord, 3 years of Bible and a year of Greek, a year of Hebrew, and now I'm turned into a telemarketer. Oh, Lord, would you help me? I'm calling people I don't know. I'm not comfortable with this. I made a lot of phone calls that week. And I called people, most of whom I did not know. I called people in their 80s. Would you like to serve at Vacation Bible School? I'm 80. I can't do anything. I said, could you bring some cookies? He says, I don't cook. I said, go get some Oreos and bring them from the store. That year we had dozens of cookies per child each day of Bible school. I called people on the phone who had left the church the year previous and were still on the books. Every church has that. And I say, would you like to work at Vacation Bible School? I left that church a year ago. There's nothing about that church I like. Does this mean you won't work at our Vacation Bible School? But that was a very difficult experience. I thought, Lord, perhaps I'm in the wrong calling. I had never directed anything in my life. I'd never attended a Vacation Bible School as a child. But I said, okay, Lord, divine intervention, please. And without much gifts or talents, God did have some people come aboard and help me direct, which I'm so thankful for. They were very merciful working with me. And the children came, learned about the Lord. Some decided to follow him. And it was a blessing in spite of our limitations, in spite of what I could do. And wherever you're at, it seems like your head's just above water, or you're mismatched with what you think you should be doing. The one who called you is faithful, the Bible says. He is faithful and he will do it. He will bring some good work because he's good in the laboring you're doing, where you're at, where you live, and when you gather together as God's people. God is faithful. He will bring some good. Be steadfast and immovable, abounding in his work, God's word says, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not a waste of time. I thought I was wasting my whole summer, vacation Bible school. Life with God is never a waste of time. Sin is a waste of time. How much time did we waste this week in sin? Life with God is not a waste of time, serving him and learning from him. And if you're in any walk in life where you say, I work with God, he is my boss, when the church gathers and when we go, have perseverance. Have perseverance. Keep at it. God will be working through you. And even if it's to close doors, I've done jobs both inside the church and outside the church where the only thing I learned was, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I never want to do that again. Haven't been a director of Vacation Bible School since. I saw the light. It was a holy closed door, which the Lord may be doing for some of you. And He will match us eventually to where we want to be. If you're not with the babies, you probably won't end up in a nursery. That's a problem. If you think teenagers are just loud and, you know, out of control, you probably won't work with them over the long haul. But God is faithful, and He will do things through your life and honor Himself. Second story has to do with Jesus' relationship with His followers and the big events that they had called miracles. And I thought of this in regards to the popular TV show, which I've seen bits and pieces of, American Idol. Not to be confused with American Idolatry, which is a bigger problem for sure. But in American Idol, average folks like you and I practice singing, many with good voices, and end up singing, and they either get this or this by the judges, and people cheer and boo and do whatever they do when those things occur. But a side message from that kind of presentation is this. Don't you want your life to be big and great and famous and dramatic? Don't you want that? Big and great and famous and dramatic. And if you're good enough, you shall be like God, said the devil to Adam and Eve. You might win something you really don't want to win. You shall be like God if your heart's not in the right place. And sometimes we look at following the Lord that way. If the world doesn't give us enough affirmation and say, hey, you're very important, we think maybe following Jesus will make me big and great and famous and dramatic. And He has other plans for us that are much healthier. And thinking of the miracles of Jesus and how many times He did something tremendous that changed people's lives. And I believe He did those miracles to help people because He was compassionate, but also, more importantly, to draw people to Himself permanently. In a 3-year ministry, Jesus performed out of love and to the glory of God about 36 to 40 miracles. Fantastic. In those days, Jesus hit a home run. He hit the ball out of the ballpark. And people took notice. They said, Jesus, you're the man. We like what you're doing. Jesus, we even think you might be the Messiah. Jesus says, thanks for the compliment. He really didn't need that vote of confidence, but that's where people were at in their faith. Wow, we had a good day with Jesus. That turns out to be, if you spread it out, about one great day a month with His disciples. The other 29 days, Jesus, any miracles today? No, not today. That's not the main point why I'm here. Okay, who He is, He was on a mission. And the other 29 days was an average day with a wonderful Savior. An average day with a wonderful Savior. And you think of your own life. Did you have a good day Friday at work? Well, a couple months ago I had a good day at work. Johnny, how you doing in math class? 10 out of 10, my last quiz. How are you doing today, Johnny? That's what I want to know. Jesus said this about the everyday experience with God. He says, my Father and I are always working. My Father's always working, and so am I, from John chapter 5. I heard something from a Christian counselor on the radio, and the Lord bless those counseling ministries. They are good and important. The fellow said, in our walk with God, in our lifetime, 10% of our life is really on the mountaintop. We see Jesus hitting home runs and doing miracles, and it is tremendous, and we're so glad that He's faithful to intervene for us like that way. 10% of our life is like that. 10% of our life is in deep grief. Much of the country was hit by that this past week. We can't even know if we have the energy to go on the next hour, let alone the next day. Part of our life like that. Depend on where you're at in life circumstances, and God at work, your mountaintops and your deep valleys might even be more than 10%. But he said 80% of our lives, you know what they're like? They're peanut, he called them peanut butter and jelly faithfulness days. Now, how many are really excited about if we had peanut butter and jelly for lunch? That's what you eat when there's nothing else to eat. But you're really hungry, and so it does taste pretty good. In serving God, could you see those God's faithfulness to you in the peanut butter and jelly days of life? That He's there with you. He's sustaining you. He is your daily bread. And you might not trade that for 40 more miracles spread out over the course of a lifetime. Jesus invites us to walk with Him in the everyday, to know He is always working and the Father is working in what you're doing, what you're up to this past week. Jesus invites us. He says, take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. You know what kind of animal got in the yoke? It was an oxen. An oxen is not very fast. An oxen is one step at a time kind of an animal. It is plodding. It is moving along. I wanted Jesus to say, come with Me in My chariot. We will ride up to heaven together every day. But to know, to meet the Lord, because He is always working in the normal days that we have, how precious they are. Many are praying for some normal days to return to their hearts. And the third story from Jesus that helps us in our learning is when He sends out the 72 with His blessing and power. 72 followers, they go. It mirrors us a little bit this morning. He tells them some encouraging words before they go, learning and serving. He says, the harvest is plentiful. That means our lives are going to make an impact on others, whether we know it or not. There's going to be a plentiful harvest. Millions and millions, and perhaps billions of people in heaven because of Christ working through people like you and me. You're a part of a plentiful harvest. Our eyesight would say, nothing's growing, can't see it, not happening fast enough. Well, we appreciate that lack of faith. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. And then He says, go like sheep among wolves. I wanted to be a wolf among the sheep. I would have the power then. I would be aggressive. Some want to serve with Jesus because it's a power thing. He'll give me the power. I'll get some things done. I remember when I was told at Vacation Bible School, I thought, I'm going to turn this church around. Well, something turned around. It was me. And some want to serve because they want that power. But some want to serve because they are sheep. And sheep know, my job as a sheep is to follow the Savior. And I thrive best when I'm doing that. And so Jesus would say to you, follow Me. And when the people came back from, those 72 came back from learning and following Jesus, they had some great life-changing experiences. They said, even the demons submit to us in Your name. Wow. Well, wouldn't you like to have a life with God where because you were there and followed Christ and did something or spoke a word, evil just ran like the wind. No evil around there because Christ was in ministry and called you alongside. Even the demons submitted to us, they said, in Your name. And that was great. Jesus says something surprising. He said, don't rejoice because the demons run. Don't rejoice just because evil is stopped, but really rejoice because Your name is written in heaven. Because Your name is written in heaven. You and I live in a culture and in a church culture that says this: accomplish much, rid the world of evil, set goals and meet them, see tremendous things happen, and if you do, you will have joy and fulfillment in life. Jesus said, joy and fulfillment in life comes from Him. Comes from Him. That we could rejoice that We get to work with Jesus and follow him this week. What better learning description can you ask? What better teacher could you ask for? Be glad your name is written in heaven. Be glad you know Jesus. Be glad you are going to heaven through his grace. Be glad your identity is in Christ. And who he is with you is so much more important than even if every demon in Westmoreland County would run and be all gone. Jesus said it wouldn't be as happy as you would be in your heart. To know me, to know your name is written in heaven. Who is going to write your name in heaven? And that's what it comes down to. Who is going to write your name in heaven? Would you pick up the chalk and say, I know how to write my name in heaven through what I've done? Or would you hand the chalk to Jesus? Jesus, if you don't write my name, I know I don't even deserve to be there. The sheep cry out to the master, Lord, please write our name in heaven as a gift. Then we will have great joy. Great joy in you, which no one can take away. And as we continue to learn as God's people, we go to school again this week. And we do thank the Lord for all those who help us in church life. That they are faithful. We learn about Jesus because they're serving. But know to know God in the learning time. Lord, teach us of yourself. We thank him for his faithfulness. And might we pray to him, especially pray as to whether your name is written in heaven and your greatest joy is in Christ alone. He said rejoice about that the most. Let's pray together as his people. Father, in all the learning that happens in life, it's amazing. We feel like you've taught us a lot and we're relearning lessons and we still have so much more to learn of you. Perhaps for all eternity we'll be finding out about you, because even in heaven we won't be have your same omniscience. We will be still amazed at you. I pray, Father, for anyone here who might not know you, who would say, I don't know if my name's written in heaven. I need to be at peace with God through faith in Christ. Thank you that they can have a part by crying out and say, Jesus, make me a sheep of yours. Help me follow you one step at a time. You're faithful. You will accomplish the teaching that needs to have happen. I pray, Father, for conversions that you would bring about in our fellowship. We could be a fellowship of church folk, but it's much different to be a fellowship of those who trust Christ and follow him. Pray that you would continue to work that work. Be with those who serve every day, who learn as the church gathers, as we go. Keep us moving when we hit the 5% mountaintop. Help us not to want to stay there, but to give you thanks. Be with us in the 10% deep valley where we need your help and others' help to walk out and of there. And then be with us at the 80% of our days where we taste your faithfulness and it is good. We would even say, Lord, it is good all the time. All the time you are good. Bless us, Lord, as we follow you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you sing a song of testimony to the Lord joyfully and with a quiet, childlike confidence. He leadeth me. That's a blessed message we could sing to the Lord.